This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to Al Diehl, who's the Executive Vice President at Telconet. Welcome to Broadband Over Powerline World.
Well, thank you, Mark.
We're going to talk mostly about this conference and about Telconet. You're going to be a featured speaker at the BPL Rollout Lessons Learned Audio Conference. When's that taking place?
It takes place in May, I believe.
We got here Wednesday. We got March 23rd.
March 23rd.
Okay. And this is going to be an audio conference?
Yes, sir.
And who all has been invited by whom to attend?
Well, a number of the major BPL players, both utilities, equipment providers, and PLC, Powerline Communications players, as well.
Could you give us some examples of each of those two classes?
In the BPL class, I know Amperion, manufacturer of BPL equipment and solution provider, Current Technologies, Ambient, another solution provider and equipment manufacturer will be there. I believe at the moment, Telconet is the only PLC manufacturer solution provider that will be represented at the conference.
Okay, as a PLC, what does that stand for?
Powerline Communications. We'd like to distinguish BPL's Broadband Over Powerline, the last mile solution, from PLC, which is Powerline Communications or commercial in-building solutions.
Okay, say more about that distinction.
Well, most people have heard...
And if you say it a little louder, it'll be even better.
I'm sorry. Okay. Most people have heard and seen in the press, particularly during 2004, the stories about Broadband over Powerline and its development throughout 2004, ending with the... or concluding with the FCC approval of BPL regulations for the long-haul broadband delivery over power lines.
Right. That was in October, the FCC
exactly
issued the order.
PLC, this year we expect to hear a great deal about PLC, and that being the in-building solution, taking the broadband over power line solution off of the pole, either wirelessly or via fiber or copper connection, and then distributing that broadband signal within the building, be it a hotel, be it an apartment building, be it an office building. So we think it will be an exciting year for both BPL and particularly PLC community.
Does the PLC Powerline Communication need to get its internet signal from BPL, or can it get it from DSL, cable, wireless?
The PLC solution that we represent at Telconet is bandwidth agnostic. We can take the signal from satellite, from fiber, from copper, from fixed wireless, from cable, from traditional copper, whether it be T1 or DSL. It just needs to be a simple Ethernet connection.
Okay. How similar are the technologies that run BPL and BPC?
The PLC solutions tend to be at a lower frequency.
Right.
Our product, for example, works between 4 and 24 megahertz, and we can support a bandwidth throughput of today up to 6 megabits symmetric, soon to be 35 to 40, and this time next year a full 100 megabit solution.
Okay, one of the issues that was causing problems for the BLP people was the issue of radio interference, that the sending internet through the power line seemed to generate signals that interfered with amateur radio operators. Is any of that the case with BPC?
PLC?
PLC. I keep calling it Broadband Power Communications. It's PLC.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, go ahead.
That is not the case with the PLC solution. Our product, for example, has both FCC approval and UL approval. We've just received similar approvals for our international product, particularly the European Union, where we've just recently received a CE mark, which is the equivalent of the FCC, and the ECN approval, which is basically the similar approval for Underwriters Laboratory for safety. But no, we do not broadcast a signal that interferes with ham radio operators and or public safety or security agencies.
So that even means if someone is a ham radio operator, they could use your system in their house and
exactly, and
do all their ham radio operating without any problems.
Exactly, and we have several subscribers that are subscribing to the service from our ISP partners that in fact are ham radio operators.
Okay, now I'm familiar a little bit with a standard called Home Plug, mm-hmm. and I've read here that Telconet has a standard called or a brand called Plug Plus. Are these similar or under the same standard under different names?
Well, the only similarity is that both systems operate using the same basic chipset that is one developed and manufactured by Intelon. The Home Plug solution or tool set is really just that. It's aimed at the individual single-family residential home.
Right.
And can support up to a maximum of 14 connections, and that's stretching it a bit.
Okay.
Whereas our PLC solution, while it uses the same basic chipset, can support up to 1,024 users and can be remotely managed. The other feature of our solution is security, in that each of the up to 1,024 communications or signals are in fact isolated and encrypted. So if you were plugging into the same outlet with a Telconet device, it would be impossible to see the communication one between the other.
Okay.
And that's particularly important in today's consumer market where people are operating small offices, home offices,
right.
And or students who are attempting to log in to secure servers at their university.
So it would be safe to say that Plug Plus is Home Plug on steroids?
Exactly.
Okay.
And ours is the our patented technology is the secret sauce that boosts the power and number of subscribers and manageability.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about what you're going to talk about at the BPL Rollout Lessons Learned. There's three main things you're going to talk about. Maybe you could just touch on them briefly and sort of incite people who might not be sure whether they want to attend, whether to attend. The first point is about just in-building BPL as such, a discussion of the technology, logistics, and application of in-building BPL. What's the gist of what you're going to say in that section?
But we expect to talk about the fact that we are a commercialized product that is well beyond the trial stage. We've been selling product for over 2 years now. We are located in hundreds of hotels, multifamily units, apartment buildings around the country, and a number of office and actually military locations.
Can you give, maybe excluding the military ones, a rough estimate of how many installations and how many users are on
well,
BPL system?
We're in about 200 hotels.
Right.
And typical hotel size is between 100 and 150 rooms. In the multifamily side, we're currently in excess of 50 properties and rapidly deploying. At the end of last year, we heard the two magic words, you're hired, from the Donald Trump organization,
right.
Where they agreed to deploy our solution in all of the residential buildings in New York operated by Trump,
right.
Most notably the Trump Place properties and the new development along the Hudson River.
All right. That was good news, I'm sure.
Yes, it was excellent news for us.
Okay, say about a little bit of the logistics. What's involved with that?
The logistics, we work through and with ISP partners,
right.
We provide our solution at a very low cost of entry to ISP partners, which allows them to economically become broadband providers within the commercial building marketplace.
Do you mainly deal with little companies or big companies?
We deal with both large and small. The preponderance of the ISPs in the hospitality and apartment space tend to be smaller smaller players. That's just sort of how the industry is has evolved. There were a number, probably five or six, we could call major players in the very late 90s, early 2000, which appeared and disappeared as part of the dot-com, dot-bomb boom. We are actively involved with several of the major ISP partners, and expect some exciting announcements probably second quarter next year in terms of working with the major national ISPs.
Okay, let's say I'm a owner of a big hotel, and I hire you. Just three or four major steps. What do you do? What do you do in relation to the ISP? What do you do in relation to the building to make it possible for people to get a broadband through the sockets in their rooms?
Sure. With respect to the hotel space, we Telconet actually function as an ISP.
Okay.
So first step is completing a survey of the building to determine the nature of the backbone that has to be installed.
Okay.
Step two is actually installing the backbone, which is typically a 1-2 day max install process. There are only two backbone components of the system. One is called a gateway. That is really the heart and soul of the solution, which can manage up to the 1,024 users I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And connected to the gateway are devices called couplers, and those couplers are connected to either the breaker panels or the meter banks that serve that particular hotel property. And then any electrical outlet that's connected to those breaker panels or meter bank becomes active are activated, thus making the outlets effectively data ports.
Okay, and if I'm a traveler who shows up there in my room and I want to hook up my laptop, how am I going to hook it up to this this source of broadband?
Sure, you hook up through a device that's distributed by Telconet called an iBridge or Intelligent Bridge,
right,
about the size of a pack of cigarettes or smaller, depending on the hotel. Some are already placed in the rooms. Other smaller hotels, in order to maintain flexibility, distribute the iBridge at the front desk at the time of check-in.
Right.
You collect your iBridge, simply plug it into any outlet in the room, plug a standard Ethernet cable into the front side of the iBridge, the other end into your laptop or IP device, and there's no setup, and you're instantly on.
Or you could hook up a wireless router to that connection if you want to wander around your room.
Sure, if you chose to, and
laptop?
You wanted to and you're traveling with a wireless access point, that's certainly possible. Although under those circumstances, you would lose the isolation and security,
right,
that comes with,
right,
a standard plug and play.
People in the room next door might be listening.
That's exactly right.
Unless, of course, you were encrypting. You had the router was encrypting everything for you to that,
yes,
your laptop.
Yes, unfortunately, many folks tend not to encrypt their wireless,
right,
or securitize their,
right,
their wireless.
I'm sure we're going to be hearing plenty more about that in the years to come. So.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're about the process, and our roadmap for this year is to develop a wireless iBridge, so you'll have the,
right,
opportunity to plug in
wander around.
Wander around.
Plug in, wander around. The second point you're going to talk about is BPL for Navy ships. What's happening there? It says mentions aircraft carriers.
Right. One of the exciting projects.
Cities afloat.
Right. One of the exciting projects we're working on is with the United States Navy. They are experiencing their own form of digital divide.
Right.
When you think about an aircraft carrier that has 5,000 to 6,000. Sailors on board, the officer corps has pretty good access to broadband either at their duty station or in the officers' quarters. The enlisted folks, unfortunately, don't have quite that same level of access and tend to be directed to public portals where they can get on online and communicate with their friends and family. With a Telconet solution, once installed, which requires no new wires. It runs over the existing electrical network aboard the aircraft carrier.
And all the crew has access to electricity.
And all the crew has access to electricity right now at their berthing areas, which are where the most likely place that that the sailors would connect.
Right.
They already have their clock radio or their lamp or electric shaver, hair dryer plugged into that to that outlet. They just need to plug in with an iBridge, and they can be online. That equally as important as the ability to communicate back and forth to shore through a secure network is the fact that most of the armed services today do their training over the internet. The day of or the days of the 2 or 3 inch thick training manuals, the hard copies, have gone by the wayside, and most all of the manuals are now online, as well as the tests themselves that are used for promotion purposes. So this will certainly enhance the ability and flexibility of the of those aboard ship and elsewhere within the Navy where we're intending to deploy.
Oh, what's the status of that deployment now?
Right now, the major aircraft carriers that we were that we are intending to deploy on are out at sea. So
so you're waiting for them.
We're waiting for them to return to port.
This is very interesting. In the late 40s, it was the Army that led the way in desegregation of the United States by order of President Truman. And now you're saying that there's more democratization in broadband in the armed services again.
Absolutely.
Say something about the third point in your talk, a discussion of Telconet's recent work with utilities and access BPL companies. We distinguish between BPL and BPC, but now talk about the relationship.
Right now we're actively engaged with a number of utilities. We're underway right now deploying with Pennsylvania Power and Light off of the Amperion backbone in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and we'll be within the coming week deploying our solution, the combined BPL-PLC solution, at an elementary school in Bethlehem, which I know the school board's excited about. It's an older school, one that can neither afford to retrofit and do a structured wired solution, and nor will wireless work effectively within the confines of this older brick and block structure. In addition to the work with PP&L, we're working with Duquesne Power and Light in Pittsburgh to deploy a number of buildings there. We recently signed an agreement with Idacom in Idaho to work and deploy, again, an end-to-end BPL PLC solution in a number of buildings. Pending approval, we have several others working or in the process, so we see a real strong future for the combination of BPL or and PLC going forward. Hardly a day goes by where we're not contacted by a utility that is involved with BPL trials and or actual deployment. Wherein they're looking for an economical way to deploy broadband within buildings.
So to reiterate a point we made earlier, you're very compatible with broadband over power line, but you also work with whatever way the signal gets into the building.
Absolutely, and even with the major utilities that we're working with, while they have a growing BPL footprint. Many of them act as their own telecommunications company, PPL being one of them, where they have both fixed wireless and fiber and copper connectivity.
And again, you're agnostic about how the signal gets there.
We're agnostic as to how we connect.
Okay, within the building, could you distinguish between Cat 5 and wireless LAN, and why you believe a Plug Plus solution is superior?
Well, a variety of reasons. One, principal one for wireless is that it does not work. In every building.
Which buildings tend? What kind of structures tend to be
better?
We're
doing a lot of work, for example, in the South, in Florida, where the buildings tend to be stucco over wire mesh.
Right.
And wireless solutions in those buildings just do not operate very effectively. What happens? The signal bounces around within the confines of the mesh box, which creates,
right.
in technical terms, a Faraday effect.
Right.
Also, we're in a number of older buildings in the major metropolitan areas in New York and Chicago, for example, where the wireless solution just doesn't reach every room that the subscriber would like. So that it makes it difficult to be a totally comprehensive solution within those properties.
Okay.
With our solution, obviously, they can move from outlet to outlet.
Right.
Without difficulty. Sort of our catchphrase really is the security of a wired solution with the flexibility of wireless. Mm-hmm. With respect to Category 5 wiring, it tends to be considerably more expensive than a PLC solution, where no new wires are required. Effectively, we're utilizing the existing copper in the on the electrical grid, so reduces significantly the investment, either on new buildings and or on retrofits. It's interesting with the Trump situation that I mentioned earlier. That organization did in fact wire with Cat 5 throughout the property. What they found was that residents were still restricted to a particular data jack location,
right?
Didn't give them the kind of full-scale flexibility that they wanted. For example, in the kitchen, kitchens tend not to have data jacks deployed,
right.
in the more enlightened developers aren't doing that. Today's environment, where you're downloading a recipe, or you want to be while you're in the kitchen, you want to keep track of email, you are able to do that simply by plugging into any outlet. And I should mention that the type of outlet doesn't matter. In kitchens and bathrooms, for example, they have the ground fault protection for safety. That does not interfere with the broadband signal. Also, with the built-in security, it enhances that capability as well. And as we mentioned earlier, more and more folks are security conscious, particularly with online shopping. Increasing the way that it is with the security and isolation of the PLC solution, there's little to no worry about people intercepting the communication and picking up your bank card, your card number, or your credit card number.
As long as we're in the kitchen, let's talk about smart appliances, mm-hmm. and how they synergize with your solution. Not only could you look at recipes or check your email, but you could probably plug your refrigerator, your microwave, your blender into the internet this way, can't you?
That's exactly true. We're seeing more and more of building management, both at the individual resident level and for building managers. Who are responsible for heating, air conditioning, and so forth in the building backbone. So we're seeing that utilized. We're also working with major utility companies on deploying the PLC solution in power substations to manage the individual monitoring devices, switches, and so forth. That in today's environment are all networkable. All of them have an IP. Capable connectivity, and in a substation, for example, it's given the nature of their bomb shelter-like construction, it'd be very difficult to deliver and distribute new wires. Wireless certainly doesn't work given the thickness of the walls and the reinforcing bar that's used in the construction. So a PLC solution is a very compatible one in that environment.
In fact, Garrison Keillor had a sketch on his last show where someone had a special remote so they could find their car keys or their wallet or even parts of their body. In fact, a combination of broadband over power line or another incoming net system, networking. Wireless and RFID tags, you'd be able to find anything, including the children or anything else in the house, wouldn't you?
Anything that has an IP device connected to it, we can look at.
Okay. How fast can you install this into a hotel?
Into a hotel, as I said earlier, it typically takes a day or two. The delay is frequently, or the longest deployment feature is getting a bandwidth connection to the hotel.
Otherwise known as backhaul.
Otherwise, it's a day or two. In about 85% of the hotels that we're servicing today, there is some form of bandwidth connectivity which supports their reservation system. Could be a DSL line. Larger hotels could be a
right.
D1. Some of the more remote hotels have satellite connectivity.
Right. So almost every hotel is already backhauled for its own reservation system.
The bulk of them are, yes.
And, okay. Does using your system degrade the quality or the quantity of the electricity that comes through the line?
Not at all. The devices themselves insert no power into the grid.
Right.
The only power it consumes is sort of roughly the equivalent of a VCR in terms of plugging in the gateway. But we're not injecting power into the system. And that's an important feature to remember because it doesn't require the installation, doesn't require the issuance of a building permit.
Right.
It can be installed by a licensed electrician without permit.
Do the devices themselves, if you're plugging your laptop in, you plug your laptop into one plug and you plug your iBridge into the other?
You plug the iBridge into the outlet.
Right.
And out on the front side of the iBridge, there's an standard network jack, RJ45 jack. You plug
right.
your Ethernet cable into that. It's no different in concept than a DSL modem
right.
or a cable modem. The significant difference, however, is its flexibility. You can move it from outlet to outlet as opposed to being confined to the proximity of either your phone jack or your cable jack.
Right, but you don't get power through that line.
No, you do
you
not.
You just get information. You get power through a separate line.
Information exactly.
through that line.
Exactly.
Okay. Say just a little bit for the complete technoids in the audience about how this works, how the internet signal is sent across the electric power grid.
Well, the internet signal is really an RF signal.
Right.
And actually, many of the features are similar to wireless. We operate in what's called OFDM, which for the wireless folks is a familiar term.
Orthogonal frequency division multiplex.
Exactly. So we operate in a very similar characteristic. It's a shared environment, so our 6 meg or eventually 45 to 100 meg is shared, but it's symmetric. We operate, as I mentioned earlier, in the 4 to 24 megahertz range, well below most, almost all other frequencies, and well below the typical noise level that is injected from the starting of a hairdryer or an electric motor or a microwave oven. So we're largely below that level, and where the potential for interference exists, our patented technology, our patented software, filters out that interference.
Okay, say a little bit more about security, and specifically what FIPS 140 is, why it's important, and when you got it.
FIPS 140 is a full 256 megabit encryption. We are in the final stages of approval now. We are in the NIST, National Institute of Standards, laboratory for final approval, and we expect that to occur in the next 30 to 45 days. It's important for us because there are a significant number of applications within the military, within the Office of Homeland Security, and state and local governments where absolute government standard encryption is key. And when we achieve our full-blown certification, again, which we expect shortly, we'll be the only power line communication device that will have that certification. So that should, from a product acceptance perspective, be of significance.
Okay, we've mainly been talking about hotels as the model for deployment. Mm-hmm. What about office buildings? It's pretty much the same story.
Office buildings are very much the same. You can plug in, you can connect gateway and couplers. The way I described earlier for the hotel in the electrical rooms of an office and distribute within within offices, very much the same way you would in a high rise or mid-rise apartment.
Okay, talk about the control mechanism, the software. Let's say it's a big office building and there are 50 companies in it. What control does the building management have? What control can each company get through your system?
Now, the networks can be segmented. As I indicated earlier, all 1,024 connections are isolated and encrypted. There is a capability within the system to create virtual private networks, to subdivide those 1,024 users into smaller groups.
And hand over control of them to the individual companies.
Either the network administrator or the ISP. For example, if it's a third-party ISP that's providing the service, all of the management can be done remotely, either through to FTP in, or there's a web interface if you're on-site through a straight hardwire cable connection. You can see each and every device that is on the network by its MAC address. You have the ability to see the throughput that's going through each individual device that's connected on the network. And in fact, you can turn it on and off. For example, if you're in an apartment community and someone fails to pay their bill.
Right.
Or if you see someone on a network in an office that is trying to consume more bandwidth than they might be permitted or it's desirable. In apartment communities, for example, it's not uncommon to find an occasional person trying to operate his or her own ISP out of their apartment and maybe have a small Sun Spark station or heavy-duty server and trying to consume an overabundance of the shared bandwidth.
Can
be monitored and managed by the by the network administrator.
Can content be monitored as well as usage and be filtered so that if you want to have a particularly upstanding community that isn't allowed to download from certain sites, that can be set up at the building level?
You could do that. Most of our ISP partners and network administrators do that through a separate device,
right?
Separate subscriber management tool.
But that runs
in parallel with our equipment. You know, other devices that run in parallel are billing software devices that are maybe used in hotels who either pay by the 24-hour period or by the usage minute. All of those are compatible with our system. Ours is a pure level 2 transport from a technical perspective. So any higher gradation of network management will work without issue.
Okay, let's talk about two related issues. Speed. What's available now? What are you projecting in the near and long-term future for this?
Speed today is through the current product line is 6 megabits symmetrical. We're finding that save for some heavy-duty commercial office operations, the 6 megabit in the residential and in the hotel space is adequate. We are expecting end of second quarter, beginning third quarter, to deploy the next generation of chips, which have an 85 megabit capacity, which will allow about a 35 to 40 megabit throughput. The current chipset is 14. We're experiencing 6 to 7, so that the ratio will stay in place. And likewise, as we go forward, this time next year, the so-called AV chip will be available. That's a 200 megabit chipset, where we should see the full 10x100 megabit throughput that's required in commercial environments.
So this is going to mean that high-definition television and video are going to be streamable through these networks.
Exactly. In fact, one of the major investors in our principal chip manufacturer is Comcast.
Right.
And they see the opportunity going forward to expand their capability of delivering video beyond the coax cable that they now have available to them.
They've realized, unlike the trains at the end of the 19th century, that they're in the communication business, not the cable business.
Exactly. And the prospect of overbuilding with new cable Or this would give them the opportunity to compete with other smaller cable providers where Comcast may not
right.
own or have access.
Or
to the,
would this obviate the need to go into this franchising process in cities?
It's going to create some interesting regulatory challenges as time goes forward.
Okay.
In the same way that the major Bell operating companies are now seeing those challenges.
Well, that was exactly the next...
With fiber to the... to the home.
Right.
It's really a new area for them. The regulations which govern voice are pretty well established.
Right.
The regulations which govern video are less so, and I would expect that to be an interesting process over the next several months of this year.
Well, on the subject of voice, if you can run high definition television, you can certainly run a voice signal.
That's correct. And our product today supports voice over IP.
Do you partner with any particular companies to do that?
We we're at the transport level. We have several of our ISP partners are using either their own proprietary soft switch or, for example, the major ISP in New York that's working with the Trump Organization uses Vonage and has been a Vonage partner for a long time. It was interesting today in the news to see that Vonage had just signed up their 500,000th, so they're now at a 500,000 subscribers, and they've also announced a wireless ISP capability. So
okay,
or wireless VoIP.
Wireless voice over IP, right?
Right.
So that means that a person who has electricity, which is about 98% of the people in the U.S.
Exactly.
I guess, can now get their video programming, presumably their massive multiplayer game experience, and their telephone service over their power lines.
At some point in the future, certainly they can get their data, their internet service, and their voice service.
Right.
And we're seeing that as an increasing demand. As subscribers look at the cost of and the need to have a fixed landline, they're seeing less and they're being less and less compelled to do that, particularly with the advent of the so-called E911, which identifies clearly the location from which you're calling in an emergency situation. So that has, and if you're already paying for your broadband connection, why replicate that cost or duplicate that cost with another bill from the telephone company?
Right. Let's talk a little bit as we sort of wind down here about Telconet, the company. Is it privately held or publicly traded?
Telconet's a publicly traded company.
What's its symbol?
We trade as TKO, Technical Knockout.
Okay.
On the American Stock Exchange, current market cap is around $250 million, or about 44 million shares outstanding.
So I could do the math, but what's it trading at today?
Today it's trading around 5, I believe. I haven't checked.
Okay. Say a little bit, or as much as you can, about the work you're doing for the Defense Department and the Department of Homeland Security and why that's important.
Well, the key importance for us, obviously, and the largest single project that we're working on is with the Navy Marine Corps Internet project, which is the second largest IT project in the world, second only to the ongoing development of the Internet. There are several hundred thousand seats in the parlance of the military that need to be deployed either directly with the military or civilian agencies that are working with the military. They need to be deployed in areas that, number one, must be secure, thus the reliance on the FIPS certification,
right.
And must be able to be quickly deployed, for many of the locations are only temporary, and the cost of wiring, doing a fixed wired solution in a temporary space obviously becomes very expensive. Likewise, there isn't a wireless solution today that meets the security and encryption requirements. So we think there's a significant opportunity in 2005 for PLC solutions within the Navy and Marine Corps.
No.
And likewise with there's the whole with the Navy shipboard. Applications. Another interesting opportunity that we're working with are the military recruiting stations.
Right.
There are some 6,000 around the country, and for the most part today, they are serviced by a dial-up connection. Certainly not in the broadband age, either for delivery of application material or supporting information. So they're looking very closely at a PLC solution. And actually, that's one that lends itself to a satellite broadband connection and or a BPL solution, because they're frequently in more remote areas,
right?
In strip centers, in more rural areas, as well as urban areas, and we see a strong opportunity there. Again, they tend to have short-term leases, a year, maybe two, and then they're off to the next location, either because the strip center is being upgraded, or someone else is willing to pay a higher rent than the Defense Department for a...
So they're kind of nomadic already.
So they are nomadic, and our solution, literally unplug it and take it with you to the next location.
Now, at the intersection of office building and Defense Department is what I think is still the largest office building in the world, which is the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a good solution there. Have you talked to them about that? Are you doing that already?
We're talking with all branches of the federal government, both military and the Office of Homeland Security, and we see a large opportunity there. The IT budget for the federal government is in the $60+ billion category. So we think, we'd like to get more than our fair share, but we think that both BPL and PLC will make some very significant inroads into that marketplace this year.
What about the U.S. Congress and the 50 state legislatures?
Well, we are working with state and local government as well. One initiative that we have underway is working with public housing agencies around the country, again, to address the issue of digital divide. Many of the public housing properties, as you know, are not of recent vintage, and even those that are have not been deployed with any form of structured wire. Obviously, they all have electrical wiring in place. Many of them are within easy access of DSL or other broadband connectivity, which we see the city and state and local governments participating in themselves as ISPs, and are delivering to the building, to the front door, if you will, broadband, and we see some real opportunities to deliver broadband to the residents of the public housing communities around the country.
So we're
very active in that area.
So, in fact, in New York City, not only can the people in Trump Tower, but the people in the housing projects could essentially
be
using the same technology.
With the same quality of service, same bandwidth, and the same ease of access.
You mentioned in passing municipalities becoming ISPs. Have you gotten involved in the issue of muni broadband, and either on the political level or with commercial deployments to work with cities to provide this for their own office buildings and for public housing?
We're just beginning to do that now. The city of Chicago, for example, has a program called CityNet, where they have deployed fiber to all of the city offices and city related locations, public housing being one of them. So that would be our first step in working with effectively a municipal ISP. We are in other municipal buildings. For example, a fire station in Armonk, New York, was one of the first public safety buildings where we deployed our solution, and it's been an overwhelming success there. And we're looking to expand that capability as well.
Okay. Well, I think one way to do that is to let more people know about what you're up to, and I hope a lot of people will listen to this over whatever broadband or dial-up connections they've got. And I want to thank you for talking to us, and maybe a few quarters from now we can talk again and see how some of these projects are moving forward.
Very good. It'll be my pleasure.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.